Let us pray. O God, when we have no words, we are grateful for your word. Your word around which we gather now. Send forth your spirit into this place, into our hearts, that we would hear your word. Your word you speak to your church gathered in this place this day. Through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. Invite you now to hear these words from 1 Peter, and as we listen today, let's listen together for the Word of God. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice. Rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that God may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are also undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. If you're anything like me this morning, maybe you hate to admit the one line in that text that seems the most believable today. It's been such a tough week. So many things have happened, things which defy God's righteousness and God's love. So many things that have turned up the volume on the groan sounding from the center of creation as it longs to be redeemed. So many things. An attack in Manchester, the slaughter of Coptic Christians in Egypt who would not renounce their faith, an attack on Muslims on a bus in Portland, and the deaths of two who tried to assist. It's just so much to take in, so much to try to make sense of, even as we know in our hearts that it will never make sense. Just so much. So if your eyes and your ears have been open even a bit this week, or in recent weeks and months, maybe you understand why the most believable verse seems to be the one that offers the least hope. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Do you have any trouble believing that? that some power is out there in the world, whether you call it your adversary or the devil or evil, there is something out there that keeps wanting to destroy this world that God made and pronounced good. Something that seeks to devour you and anyone like you who dares to resist. Folks like Bonhoeffer, who drove a stick into the wheels of injustice. People like you who stand against anything seeking to overturn God's righteousness and love. People like you who have put your hope in Jesus. And people like me. Because I've got to tell you, I believe in God's power to bring life, to give life, even in the midst of death. And I believe what we sing here far too often, that goodness is stronger than evil, love is stronger than hate, that light is stronger than darkness, and that life is stronger than death. But if you've looked in the hymnal, maybe you've discovered there's more to that song, and I never sing that part. It goes on to say, victory is ours, victory is ours. Through him who loves us. Victory is ours, victory is ours. Through him who loves us. And maybe I don't sing that because the victory doesn't seem as certain as I'd like it to. Or maybe it's because I don't want us feeling any sense of superiority. You know, that as if nothing can stop us, because God is on our side. All I know is that today I need you to keep singing that song for me. Not the victory part, but the stronger than part. Because here's the thing, I don't have the words today. All of the low-hanging jokes about the installation of a new class of officers that sprang from this text weeks ago just won't work today. How can you compare someone's service on the session as a fiery ordeal or as something strange when fiery ordeals are the lead story on the news every single day? So I don't have all the words this morning. In my sermon last week, I spoke these words about when that happens. I said, I've come to understand that the church's witness isn't about well-crafted words that will be remembered for generations nearly as much as it's about real flesh and blood people. People who gather Sunday after Sunday to stammer out the hymns and who pray haltingly, sometimes through clenched teeth. People who somehow find the courage to answer truthfully when they are asked the reason for their hope. Today I am stammering out the hymns. And my prayers are halting. And they are definitely prayed through clenched teeth. And yet I still sing and pray because deep down I believe. I continue to hope in God's promised good. David Bartlett suggests that those of us in the church who long to cling to our hope continue to do so because we trust in God's promised good. And he said that there are three ways that we cling to that hope. First is to act humbly, acknowledging the power and the providence of God. Second, we are to act watchfully, staying disciplined enough not to doze off in the face of real danger. And third, we are to act faithfully. To act faithfully by resisting the evil one and those who follow in his entourage. The primary comfort here for those who suffer is the comfort of God's present grace and the promise of eventual triumph. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that kept me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. But there is a second comfort as well, and that is that we're called to resist as those who know that we are part of a movement that extends far beyond our own communities and reaches to the very ends of the earth. You're part of the church who believes. And we need each other to keep on believing, to keep on trusting the things that God can do. So, my friends, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, that God will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To that God be power forever and ever. Amen.